If you could turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 24. We'll be reading the scripture for today. It's also on page 2 of your bulletin. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Amen.
Thank you, Sam. As we have read the Word of God, may we also open our hearts to God speaking to us. So again, let's come before God. Dear Lord, at this Labor Day worship service, we pray that you will make your word come alive to us in so many different ways. Speak to us familiar truth, but with renewed vision and vigor. Speak to each and every heart here. Teach us a little bit more about working, serving, and honoring you. And also, at the same time, about the work of the cross that Jesus has accomplished for us. Thank you, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we praise you. Amen. Grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that God would continue to cause our hearts to rejoice. I like what one church did to celebrate a particular Labor Day worship. Basically, you know, the congregation was asked to wear or to come in their uniform or work outfits, or bring something that will represent or tell other people about the type of work or the type of a career that they do. It could be a paid job, it could be unpaid, maybe voluntary. It could be current, and for those who retire, it could be, you know, the previous job. So they were asked to do it, you know, on that particular Labor Day worship service to underscore that there is a relationship, there is a connection between work and worship, between faith and work. And during the sermon, the minister, you know, turning to the congregation and said, you know, if you work in the scientific arena, would you please rise? And you see that, you know, all dotting the whole sanctuary, people who might be engineers, chemists, forensic investigators, lab technicians, you know, all those who work in the scientific arena, wherever they were sitting, they stood up. And the minister acknowledged them and asked them to sit down again. And the second group of people that, you know, she asked to stand up were the people working with food. So those who were preparing food, those who were selling foods, working in the cafeterias and restaurants, they stood up. They were acknowledged and they were asked to sit down again. And then the third group of people, you know, those who work with plants, living, greens, or farming, they were asked to stand. So a lot of people who were interested in gardenings, or maybe people who work in, you know, florists and also the nursery, they stood up, acknowledged, and they were asked to sit down again. And then there were also people asked to stand if they work with words or writing or music or information. And you see a lot of people standing up, you know, the computer people, the IT people, the secretary, the web design, the administrative assistants, the musicians, everybody stood up in this category. And on and on and on the list went on, you know. And people were surprised at the range of works or interests that were represented by that one particular congregation. The whole idea was to underscore the connection between faith and work, between worship and our workplace. Maybe we can do something like that here in a modified form, you know, one of these Sundays. On this particular Labor Day Sunday, I want us to consider a little bit about work and our attitude towards work. Time would not allow us to go into, you know, this topic very deep, but we pray that whatever meditation and reflection we have, God would somehow take his message and implant it and impress it upon our hearts. We may be working, you know, school-related work. Maybe it is homemaking. Maybe it is doing homework. Whatever it is, we ask that God would give us a new perspective and a new joy towards it. For that, we turn to Colossians chapter 3, the two verses that Sam just read for us. Let us start by reminding ourselves that, you know, as far as God is concerned, God puts a lot of emphasis, a lot of value on work, on job. How do we know? because we know that God actually commands us to work. If you turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 9, one of those 10 commandments, 6 days you shall labor, 6 days you shall work and do all your work. Now we have a changing and different culture. But the same idea of working and also having time set apart to worship God, to know God, and to sit at his feet still applies. So God says that, 6 days you shall work and do all your work. Do you know that God also himself is a worker? Genesis chapter 1, we are familiar with those words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God was already working very hard to make sure that the whole universe was habitable. Genesis chapter 2, by the seventh day, God has finished his work, the work that he had been doing. God was working, and on the seventh day, he was done. Psalms chapter 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. You look at the universe. You look at nature. Every time we are sure to be impressed by God's handiworks, by God's fingerprints. John chapter 5, Jesus said, "My Father is always working to this very day, and I too am working." You see that in the Bible, we know that God worked from the very beginning, even before the universe came into existence. God had been working throughout history, and God is still working today, even though sometimes we may not be aware of how he is working. But at least one thing is certain. We know that God is a worker, and he wants us to work. God, our Father in heaven, working very hard, and he wants us to imitate him. He does good things, many good things, all kinds of good things, and work is one of those many good things that God does. Have you ever thought that by working, by serving, by doing something productive, maybe home, school, or office, it is an indication that you are imitating God the Father who has commanded us to work? Do you know that by working, by serving, and doing something, out of a desire to honor God, we are actually imitating and reflecting Jesus in us. So we know that God is a worker. He values work. He asks his people to work, and he blesses work. We also know that what we do is important. Our job is important. How we do it is equally and sometimes more important. Paul wanted the Colossian believers to examine their work attitudes. So in verse 23, he said, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for man, since you know that you are going to receive an inheritance from the Lord, not from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Jesus Christ you are serving. Back to that verse again. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. This is the attitudes of being diligent, pursue excellence. When I became a believer, I was asked to read many books. And one of the books that I enjoyed by a navigator writer was by the name of Leroy Ames. And his title, that one book influenced me a lot. It is Pursuits of Excellence. That if anyone is to excel in whatever he or she does, it ought to be the believers. Why? Because our God is a God of perfection. We are not talking about being perfectionistic. We are not talking about so fussy and so picky that everything has to be just right. We are talking about giving our very best because we are believers. And people see our attitudes and they know that the God we believe in is also a God of love and perfections and excellence. So Paul here is saying that, it doesn't matter what you do. It could be just washing toilets. It could be, preparing food for your loved ones or for your friends. Work at it with all your heart. Be diligent. Do your very best. Try not to be sloppy at all. And Paul also goes on to say that whatever you do, consider it as working for the Lord, not for man. This is a little bit hard for people, even for believers, because honestly, we sometimes don't think of it that way. In the church, at home, there's a lot of things that we are asked to do. Sometimes it is tough enough just doing them. Having the right attitudes, you know, enjoying it, let alone reminding ourselves that, you know, we're doing it for God. Let us learn to cultivate and remind ourselves that, you know, at all times, God is our boss, He's our master, He's our employer, He's our CEO. There is a spiritual and biblical aspect to work that we are asked to remember. I love the example of one of my friends who was also a teacher. You know, every now and then she would tell me, this used to be, you know, quite a while ago, every now and then she would tell me, you know, and share with me her frustration. And one of her frustrations is that, you know, as a believing Christian teacher, she does not have the opportunity or the liberty to tell her students about her faith. You know, she has to dance around that subject very, very carefully. But one of the things that I remember her saying on one occasion, she said, you know, at least I can take pride in the facts that, you know, I cannot tell them about my faith, but I can tell myself that God has entrusted them to me, and I'm going to love them the best I could as a believing teacher. She couldn't tell them about the gospel verbally, but at least she knows that this is a responsibility, and this is a group of students entrusted to her by God, and because of that, understanding it, she took her service, she took her job very seriously. And then Paul goes on to say, again, the third part, whatever you do, work at it with all your hearts as seek working for the Lord, not for man. And he says, you know, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Jesus Christ you are serving. Paul wants us to, you know, keep remembering that whatever you do, we are actually serving Christ, and God will reward us. Come to think of it, you know, God has actually blessed us abundantly, more than we can ever count or remember. But the neat thing about being a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ is that, you know, not only has God blessed us with all these things and He's going to bless us more, but God says that every time when we serve Him, when we do something to honor Him, it may be the job that we are paid to do. It may be something that we volunteer to do. God says that as long as you do it, no matter what it is, God takes notice. He doesn't forget. And He's also going one day to reward us. There is a bonus for us in serving God. So Paul was reminding the Colossian believers, you know, to take work seriously. Pursue excellence, not because you are perfectionistic, but because God is a God of greatness, goodness, and excellence. But at the same time, you know, when it is difficult to work because maybe you are being underappreciated, Paul says, you know, remember that you are working for man. You are working for God, not for man. So don't let the situation bother you that much. And also thirdly, remember also you are already a Christian. Everything you do should be a service and a reflection of your loving expression for Christ. And God is never, ever going to forget it. He's going to give you a bonus, a reward. This is about attitudes. God is a worker. He wants us to work. But God is also saying that, you know, whatever you do, attitude is very important. Attitude is critical. The writer Mark Twain is reported to have said that work is a mental attitude. Work is a mental attitude. Nothing is either work or play, but thinking makes it so. If your mind, if you mentally think that it is work, it is going to feel more like work to you. It is, if you mentally think that, you know, it's going to be fun, you are going to find that, you know, you have more of an encouraging attitude. You know, come to think of it, you know, we use the same muscles to play golf, basketball, you know, tried out our favorite recipes, and we use exactly the same muscles to mow the lawn. I'm not sure whether you like it or not. Or to do laundry. I don't like to do laundry, I have to admit it. I like ironing even less. You use the same muscle to do all this, you know. You use the same brain power to play video games, and you also use the same brain power to do homework. Have you ever thought about that? You know, it is exactly the same brain, the same set of muscles. Why is it that we enjoy certain things more and others less? Part of the reasoning is that our attitudes, our mental mindsets. Very often, you know, the key to enjoying our work, to serving, to helping other people, is not so much what people are telling us to do. It is up here and also here. The two go hand in hand. If we consider whatever we are doing as a love offering to God, as a gift, as a special service to someone else, because God has blessed me, now it is a chance for me to share it with other people, I tell you, you'll find that your attitude will be that much more uplifting, encouraging, both to yourselves and to the people you served. So sometimes it is all about our attitude. There's a story involving, you know, three big names in the financial world: Andrew Carnegie, Charles Schwab, and also J.P. Morgan. Well, none of them is with us today. But this is how the story goes. You know, Andrew Carnegie, who lived in the last century or so, over 150 or 70 years ago, he was a very gifted, you know, businessman. He founded his own huge company. And then at the turn of the century, about 100 years ago, his company was taken over by another huge corporation. And the new management was contractually obligated to pay the top CEO a certain amount of money. At that time, the top CEO of this company founded by Carnegie was none other than Charles Schwab. And the contract calls for him to be paid a minimum sum of $1 million. Over 100 years ago, that was a huge, huge, huge amount of money. And who was heading up this new management, you know, who took over this company founded by Carnegie? J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan, you know, knew the deal. He did not like it at all. Because back then, the highest salary any CEO was paid was only $10,000. $1 million was 10 times, you know, a lot higher. So one day he couldn't contain it, you know. He took the contract. He went to see Schwab. He showed him the contract, and then he hesitantly asked Schwab what could be done about it. You know how Charles Schwab replied? This. He took the contract and he tore it up. That's a true story. Because years later, Schwab told a Forbes magazine interviewer, this is what he said: I didn't care what salary they pay me. I was not motivated by money. I believe in what I was trying to do, and I wanted to see it brought about. I canceled that contract without a moment's hesitation. Why do I work? I work for the pleasure I find in work, creating things and the people and the relationship I forge through business. He wasn't in there for the money. As far as his attitude was concerned, it was creating opportunities to help other people. It was enjoying, you know, friends and relationships he made during the business and other transactions. That to him was attitude. He found joy in doing that. Anytime when we turn our attention to people, what we can do for them and the goodness that God has blessed us with, we can be sure that work is no longer just work. We reflect a certain quality and attributes that we have seen so clearly and abundantly in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, we can take that a step further. Back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 again. Remember the familiar words of Paul. Again, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if you are working for the Lord, not for man. Regardless of what we do for a living and what we do within the body of Christ in the church, we are actually, in a very real sense, serving God. Our real boss and our real manager is God himself. When we realize how gracious and loving God has been to us, as his workers bearing the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit would enable us to be more gracious and loving to ourselves and to other people. Whatever you do, whether on a voluntary basis or whether you are paid to do, I hope that you realize that in a very real sense, you and I are all working for God. Brothers and sisters, the work that you do for God is as important, as valuable in God's eyes, as the work that the pastors are doing. Believe it or not, no matter what you do, it may be just a homemaker, and you don't think that much about it because housework never gets done. It may be parenting, very challenging kids, hectic schedule. It may be grandparenting. It may be serving as a ministry team or board members. It may sometimes be just offering your time and your listening ear to someone who is crying out for one. It may be teaching. It may even be voluntary community service. And you can name whatever you want. But the thing is that whatever you do, it has meaning as a believer, especially when you know, in a very real sense, you are serving God and not people. If our motive is to serve and honor God, God says, Colossians 3 applies to us. And God is going to give us a reward. Now, having said that, I know that sometimes it is not easy to love your job or to love the work you are asked to do. Lots of reasons. People don't appreciate us enough. You heard that before? Some people might take you for granted, and they always seem to do that. It is a lot of hard work. Sometimes, maybe long hours, maybe we are really stretched beyond our limits already. Maybe we don't really enjoy it, and we're having a tough time learning to juggle. And on, we can find many reasons why sometimes we don't find it easy to enjoy our work. And sometimes also, truth be told, the workplace can be a dangerous place. I have a friend who one day woke up discovering that his teammate who so far had been working with him, you know, in a buddy-buddy relationship, was actually all this time scheming behind him. He was working for a huge, huge company because his teammate wanted his position. Wow, what a heartbroken realization. Called me up, told me about the whole thing. We cried. Actually, he did most of the crying. I kind of, felt for him. And later on, we pray. And I was glad that, you know, later on, he was the one who reminded himself that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, let's pray. And when he prayed, I noticed that, you know, God gave him strength. God gave him strength to go on. God gave him strength to pick up the pieces. And later on, he was vindicated, you know. Sometimes working has a huge, price tag. You probably know or have heard about the name J.C. Penney. Probably many of us have shopped in one of his stores at one time or another. J.C. Penney died at the age of 95, about 20 to 30 years ago. He left an empire at that time of over 1,600 stores. He built an empire based completely on biblical principles that he had learned from the Bible. For one thing, J.C. Penney didn't drink or smoke, and for many years, he expected all his employees to do the same, not to drink, not to smoke. He also said that, you know, he believed in the golden rule of faith in God and faith in the country. But one very profound statement that he made, he said, I would rather be known as a Christian than as a businessman. I would rather be known as a Christian than as a businessman. Apparently, J.C. Penney believed that being a Christian was the most important thing in life. more important than his business accomplishments, more important than the wealth that God has blessed him with, more important than the power and the influence that he had. He believed sincerely that it was more important for him to be known as a follower of Jesus Christ than as a successful businessman. That is exactly the right attitude. Colossians chapter 3 again. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for God and not for man. Since you know that you are going to receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I are serving. Let's ask God to bless our church and to bless our witness at home, in school, at work, wherever we may be, with the same attitudes. In a few moments, we're going to be remembered an eternal work. An eternal work because it is Jesus who accomplished that work on the cross for us. Jesus had exactly the same attitudes when it comes to work, when it comes to doing what he did on the cross. He once prayed, "Father, remove this cup of suffering from me, but not according to what I want, according to what you want. Let your desire and let your purpose be accomplished." Jesus has never stopped working for his people. He said that, you know, even though he is physically absent from the earth now, but he is actually busy finishing the rooms that he has promised us. John chapter 14. He said that, you know, although he is now sitting glorified and enjoying all the worship and adoration from, you know, the creation, but he's not just there enjoying the glory of God and doing nothing. Romans chapter 8 tells us that Jesus is praying for all of us at all times. Jesus also tells us that, you know, he lives inside every believer, assuring us and reminding us that he is more powerful than our enemy, Satan, who wants to destroy our trust in God and who wants to take away God's blessings from us. 1 John chapter 4. So we realize that Jesus too is constantly and busy working in us, through us, and on our behalf. So before we come to the Lord's table, to remember the work of Jesus, what he did and what he's doing and what he is doing for us in the future. Let us come before God. Let us thank God that he's a God who puts value and worth on work, and that we are all his workers, we are all his servants, that may we also reflect the same joy when we serve him. Let's pray. Gracious and merciful Father, we just want to praise you because you love us so unconditionally. We just want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts that from the very beginning of time, even right now, you are working to redeem us, to make us more like you, and to also enjoy you more. Thank you that anything that we do for you will never go unnoticed. In fact, you will bless us, you will reward us. We pray that as Christians, people will see the marks of Jesus no matter what we do. May our works and our attitudes exalt you. Make us a church who take delight in serving you because of who you are. For you are our master and you are our God. All in the name of the Lord Jesus who loves us. And the people of God say, Amen. Amen.